This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Take a look around. What do you really see? This is where you can tell all about it. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
And we are back with Dr. Magda Havas. She stays with us right through until we dim the lights and say goodnight. And we are talking about the adverse health effects of 5G set to roll out. Is it 2020 or 2021?
2020. They're actually rolling it out now and testing it in different communities.
And do communities have any say in this? I mean, how is this being managed? Who are the decision makers that decide that 5G is coming to my neighborhood, for example?
No one has any right to stop it. It comes from the federal government. And it's even, I think it's worse in the United States, although we're very much following the rollout in the United States. So communities don't have the ability to protest. The antennas are actually going to go on lampposts and existing posts, so there won't be any new posts being put up for the normal small cells. There'll be some bigger ones. For which I think they'll bring it to the community and have them provide some input. But in the past, when 4G was rolled out, communities basically didn't have any say about it. They would have public meetings, but ultimately Industry Canada would decide what they wanted to do and where they wanted to put it, and communities had virtually no say. They don't have any say about 5G either. So it's a real infringement of our freedom, our privacy, our security, our safety, and our health.
And this, despite thousands upon thousands upon thousands of peer-reviewed studies, long-term epidemiological studies showing adverse health effects of this type of radiation.
That's right. And that includes laboratory studies as well. There were two large laboratory studies that came out just this year and last year. One was the National Toxicology Program study. In 2011, radio frequency and microwave radiation were classified as a possible human carcinogen. And what was missing to make that a probable human carcinogen or carcinogenic were lab studies. And since then, two very large multi-million dollar studies have been published, and they're showing that there's an increase in gliomas in rats, for example, and there's an increase in a tumor of the heart called a schwannoma, which is very similar to the acoustic neuroma that I was talking about. It's the same cells that are affecting the nerves in the ear. In the mice, it was showing up in the heart, but it's the same cells. And so two of the cancers that are showing up in people were actually showing up in the rat study from the National Toxicology Program. And just this year, the Ramazzini Institute, which is an Italian organization, released their study looking at even lower intensities, and they basically found the same thing, gliomas and heart schwannomas in the rats and the mice.
Phil Coppens, who is a frequent guest on Ancient Aliens and an author about UFOs and so forth, terrific fellow, and he died very quickly, a rare form of heart cancer, which I'd never heard before about heart cancer. And I know people that knew Phil quite well, and they said he was always walking around. He had two cell phones, one for business, one for family, and he carried them around in the breast pocket of his shirt.
It was probably associated with a cell phone. Women who carry their cell phone in their bra, who store it there and then have a headset, you know, that they listen to the phone. There was a study done by Dr. West that came out a few years ago showing that these women, after 10 years, develop tumors immediately under where the cell phone is.
All right. I'm going to go to the phones, and then after that, we will circle back to autism. Nelson is checking in from Toronto, our media scientist friend. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, Richard. Great show once again. Great topic.
Thank you.
Rich, a couple of things I'm reminded of. You produced a show in which we reported an incident here in Toronto where a Nimrod plane crashed at the public CNE, and at that time it was reported that it was microwave radiation that brought down the plane, as well as Tom Bearden's Oblivion book, in which he talks about how there you can use microwave to put thoughts in people's head and have actually used them to cause planes to crash. So we did shows on that back in the 90s, and I think what this young lady's doing is a great yeoman service to just identify how, you know, all the evils of microwave radiation. It's not just being used as weaponry to shoot down, take down planes, but it also can be used to create fires in the home.
Well, you know, when you think about it, they've been using microwave technology or microwaves as a weapon since the Second World War. That's 75 years ago.
I shudder to think about
what they're capable of. Yeah, what they could do with it now.
Yeah, and probably what they're going to do is cause put thoughts in people's heads, and it controls people's emotions with it, and they can put thoughts in people's heads through it, and so they can do all, and they can put voices in people's heads as well. You'll start to hear voices, and it's just being shot at you as a beam. Very powerful technology. Hopefully the public will become schooled and understand it, but I doubt it.
Nelson, thank you as always.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that's a whole... that's a whole other topic, and you know, not a week goes by where I don't get an email or a call from someone who believes that they are being targeted for electronic harassment or torture. And you know, when these reports came out of Cuba, for example, about embassy staff, that was vindication to a lot of people. They were saying, "Aha, you see, we told you so." But I want to, maybe if time permits, we'll get back to that in a moment. But I wanted to circle back to autism and vaccines, and I know this is it's become a taboo topic now. The National Post ran a headline a couple of weeks ago, basically outing a couple of people who were with the, I guess, the Chiropractic Association or something, and saying, oh, these people have spoken out against vaccines. Well, I mean, people in chiropractic have been speaking out about vaccines for decades and decades, but now it's being used as a bludgeon to silence people. Oh, you speak out against vaccines. And I know there have been recent studies, again, pointing out that there is no causation between vaccines and autism. But again, if we're talking about, they speak about autism as if it's one disorder. And I mean, it could be a collection of things. Could, for example, 5G or 4G, working in concert with the heavy metals that are already in our bodies and that are added to because of vaccines. I mean, it could be a contributing factor. It may not be the cause, but it could be one of the causes, perhaps in conjunction with microwave radiation. What do you think?
Well, there's actually some evidence to support that concept. People who have mercury amalgam fillings in their mouth, mercury is a neurotoxin. And, you know, your filling might be 30, 40 years old, but every time you chew, a little bit of that mercury is dissolved in your saliva and gets into your body. And there was several studies done, one looking at cell phones, and they found that co-eds who used their cell phone and, you know, placed it next to their head, after using a cell phone, there was more mercury released in the body. So it's actually causing dissolution of mercury and increasing it metabolically, increasing it, because as long as it's in your tooth, it's okay, but once it gets into your bloodstream, it becomes metabolically active. There's also evidence that microwave radiation interferes with the blood-brain barrier. It causes the blood-brain barrier to allow things to get into the brain that normally are kept out of it. And doctors are aware of this, and they're actually using microwaves in hospitals. When they want to give you a drug that is supposed to get into the brain, they will expose your head to microwave radiation, open up that blood-brain barrier, and then the drug can get in much more easily, and then the blood-brain barrier slowly closes up again. So if you're using a cell phone and you've got mercury amalgam or other mercury in your body, then that mercury can actually get into the brain. And mercury is a neurotoxin. It kills nerve cells. And can do a heck of a lot of damage. So it could be that synergistic interaction between those two working together.
Right, right. So again, everyone's saying, well, vaccines are not the cause. Well, okay, but could they be working, as you say, in concert with other things? And, you know, if microwave radiation is allowing those heavy metals that are in all our bodies, whether it's from the water we drink or the food that we eat or from vaccines, then we need to look at that as well.
Exactly.
All right. Randy is in Pittsburgh. Randy, welcome to The Conspiracy Show. Good evening. Good morning.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, Doctor. Very, very thought-provoking show you have on this evening. Very interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would like to, before I get into what I wanted to talk about, I would like to write down the name. I didn't quite catch the name of the book. I want to write that down.
Public Health SOS.
Public
the
Health
Side. The shadow side of the wireless revolution.
Okay. Thank you very much, Doctor. I would like to. I wanted to ask you. Last August, there was a Dr. Pang on the radio from TrinityEyeCare.com, and he discussed extensively the effects of blue light, which he said comes from anything that has LED light coming from it, whether it's the bulbs or headlights on cars, cell phones, computers, that can lead to retinal damage and or blindness. And I just wonder what your comments were on that.
Well, you know, we've moved away from the incandescent light bulb because it's not energy efficient. And the lighting that has been produced, the compact fluorescent light bulbs and the LEDs, are actually not very good for the eyes. They're really poorly designed. There's far too much blue and not enough red light. And so that can cause damage to the eyes. And it can interfere with your sleep as well. Blue light and white light are particularly good in the morning for people who have seasonal affective disorder, SAD, because it mimics the sun, and so it can help you with alertness. But if you're exposed to that light during the day and just before you go to bed, then it can cause a lot of miscommunication with the hormones and the neurotransmitters in your body. Not only that, we've done studies with light because people who are electrically hypersensitive tell me that they can't tolerate fluorescent light bulbs, that it just gives them a headache. They feel ill when they're exposed. And so we did a study looking at what kinds of frequencies they emit. And so the blue light is part of the problem.
All right, Magda, I've got to jump in here. Okay. Apologies. We'll finish up on this thought when we come back. Randy, hold on in case you have a supplementary. Back with more of our discussion on the dangers of 5G when The Conspiracy Show returns. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
And we are back. Last call to the phone lines. We have... Well, if there's no line available, just when someone drops off, when we take their call, then jump on board at 416-360-0740, 416-360-0740 in the Greater Toronto Area, and toll-free from anywhere, really, 1-866-740-4740, 1-866-740-4740. We were finishing up with Randy from Pittsburgh, and... where were we now, Magda? You were
talking about lights, and I mentioned
with blue light,
fluorescent lights. The blue part of the spectrum is a problem because it's not continuous. There's too little red in these lights. The other problem is they emit radio frequency radiation. Believe it or not, they emit dirty electricity, and they flicker. And this flicker is really very dangerous. And there's a product that you can buy, and I strongly encourage people buy this because you've got lights in your house and you should test how good they are, and you've got your computer and television screens as well. And the name of the company is Sensora.com. It's Sensora.com. And the product is called a Light Bee, LIGHTBEE, like the buzzing bee, light bee.
Right.
And it costs about $100. It's well worth getting. And basically, you point it at a light source, and it will give you a sound, and that sound is the flicker that you hear. And you shouldn't hear any flicker. So when you point it at an incandescent bulb, it's really quite quiet. You point it at the sun, it's quiet. And if you point it at certain lights, it will just scream. And those are the lights you have to get rid of. So people who are sensitive don't like them, and the rest of us use them, and we get, you know, very tired eyes, and eyes after looking at a screen for a long time, you know, it's hard to focus. And that's because of this constant flicker that we're exposed to.
Randy from Pittsburgh, did you have a follow-up question?
No, just a quick follow-up comment. I mean, you had mentioned about the fluorescent lights giving people headaches. I know when my mother went to the grocery store and all those fluorescent lights beaming down, she would very often get headaches, so know exactly what you're talking about. And also concerning the incandescent bulbs, I mean, certainly the LEDs and the fluorescents are more energy efficient, but it's just sad that our society gets all these new technology components, which are, I guess, better in one way or another, but if it's at the cost of ruining our physical and or mental health, I think it's not worth it.
I agree with you entirely.
So, thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Peter from, I think I'll take Peter from Buffalo after the break because we're coming up on another break. This is a short segment, but I wanted to ask you quickly about cardiomyopathy, which I guess is kind of a precursor to heart failure or heart attacks. What's the connection between microwave radiation, 4G, 3G, 4G, 5G, and cardiomyopathy?
Well, with 5G, we don't know yet. We've done a few experiments looking at how the heart's affected by microwave radiation. And there's two things that happen. One is microwave radiation affects the blood, and the blood begins to stick together. The blood cells stick together for people who are electrically sensitive, which means that instead of individual cells going through a capillary, you've now got clumps of cells that are trying to get through a capillary. So the possibility, one of the worst possibilities you can get from this is either a heart attack or a stroke, depending on the health of your capillaries and your arteries. That's one thing. The other thing we noticed is that for some people, it affects their heart rate. And some people develop an irregular heart rate when they're exposed, or they develop a really rapid heart rate. And very often these people tell me that they feel like they're having a heart attack. Suddenly their heart will just start pounding. It feels like an anxiety attack and feels like it could be a heart attack. And very often it's because of the microwave radiation stimulating the heart and interfering with the circulation of the blood.
My word, we're going to face just a tsunami of disease, degenerative conditions, probably as a result of this, aren't we?
I can't think of anything that we've done in the environment, and I'm an environmental toxicologist, and you know I've studied things like lead pollution and asbestos, and you know DDT, all of those things, and this is the worst thing that we're doing, not only from the perspective of human health. But there's evidence that it's affecting biota as well. It affects bird populations. It affects trees. We've done experiments with bees. The bees are adversely affected with microwave radiation. And one of the key issues with 5G is that it's going to adversely affect insect populations because the size of the insect and the size of the wavelength of 5G is very, very similar. And so most scientists in this area think it's going to decimate the insect population, which will have repercussions on everything.
I mean, we really, I mean, even if we're not 100% sure, even if we're 75% sure, we need to be slamming on the brakes and rethinking this. But there's no consideration for doing any of that. They're just going to ram this through. And there's really, at this point, nothing, it seems, that we can do about it. We'll take more calls. Peter from Buffalo, you are next. Hold on. Dr. Magda Havas stays with us here on The Conspiracy Show.
Different views make great conversation. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
And back to the phones we go. And Peter checks in from Buffalo. Peter, welcome to the Conspiracy Show. Good morning.
Hi, you guys. Great show. Another great one. I'm wondering, I observe birds in the Buffalo Harbor from a observation tower that has a radar thing twirling on top of it. Maybe it's about, the bar is about three and a half feet long. I guess they want to monitor the water intake in Buffalo Harbor for any kind of a terrorist attack. But it's right on top of the tower. It has a cement roof, and I'm sitting just about directly under this thing, sometimes hours on end, trying to spot uncommon birds out in the harbor. So there's cement in between me and the thing, but actually I think maybe sometimes it does, the bar does overlap where I'm sitting. I kind of hate to ask the question, but what am I in for?
Well, what I would encourage you is to get that Acousticom 2 meter that I mentioned.
Okay.
And you can actually measure your exposure. Very often when you have an antenna, it's pointing away. A certain amount of the radiation actually goes underneath the antenna, so you could be exposed to a lot. You might be exposed to very little, depending on how the antenna is configured and how far away you are from it. But the best way to find out is to get one of those inexpensive meters and just measure it. It has a scale on it from green to amber to red, and that basically tells you whether, you know, if you're in the green, you're fine. If you're amber, you wouldn't want to be there for long, and if you're red, you don't want to be there for any length of time. So you can actually determine what you're exposed to. If you find that you are exposed, then one of the things you can do is take something like an umbrella and cover it with this silver fabric and shield yourself from the radiation. So you can still be there, but you can shield yourself from the radiation. And that fabric is available from the Safe Living technology that I mentioned. It's also, a lot of the callers are from the United States. There's a company called lessemf.com, L-E-S-S-E-M-F.com, and they sell all the products as well.
All right, Peter, also, thank you and good luck. Yes, you had a follow-up?
Yeah, sure, a couple things. Also, I observe from a point that's on the water, maybe, quarter mile, half mile from this, maybe a little more, three quarters of a mile from this radar thing. I guess in that situation, I'd be getting bombarded by the radar waves.
Right. Actually, radar reflects off of water. So if you've got, a body of water and radar, you can get some of it reflecting off of the water as well. So you've got a double whammy, one coming directly from the antennas and then another reflecting off water or other, you know, metal objects that you might be near.
Okay. And just one last question, if I may. I have a storage room that... when I'm out of the house, I like to keep a compact fluorescent bulb burning in there just because it uses so little electricity. Mm-hmm. But I store dried food in that room, not freeze-dried, but just like grains and beans. You know, it's cool in there, especially in the wintertime, so I think it's a good place to keep things. But considering that the food is maybe, 10 feet away or so from the bulb, maybe a little more, I think it might be a good idea if I switch that light bulb to a incandescent.
I don't think that light bulb will affect the food quality in any substantial way. So I don't think you have a problem with that.
Okay. Okay, thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Call again. Let's check in with Roy from Cambridge. Roy, go ahead. You're on the Conspiracy Show. Good morning. Hello, Roy. Are you there? Roy in Cambridge. Going once, twice, three times. Okay. The Total Health Show. Talk a little bit about, tell us when you're going to be taking the stage, Magda.
I'm going to be on Saturday. I think that's the 13th? I think it is Saturday the 13th at 4 o'clock, and I'll be talking about 5G technology. And then that evening, we have Tesla Medicine with Robert Conley, who was on your show last week. and he's got several people who will be talking about various things related to Tesla medicine. I'm going to be talking about ultraviolet radiation. Other people are going to be talking about light and pulsed electromagnetic fields. So it should be a fun evening. The workshop in the evening runs for about 3 hours, and I think the cost for that is $20. Coming to listen to me as part of the, coming in and for the program for the Total Health Show, so you don't have to pay anything extra.
All right, let's say hi to Richard from Toronto. Richard, go ahead. You're on the line with Dr. Magda Havas.
Great, thanks. Really good show today. I thought it was interesting about the microwaves and what they're emitting. I think this maybe it's a coincidence or something like that, that if you look at countries in the world that don't have a high usage of microwaves, there's a correlation between that and lower risks of cancer. And if you look at, I guess, the trending of our population in North America with levels of cancer increasing, there's probably not a household in North America that doesn't have a microwave as well as their business. So I was wondering, is there some studies that have been taking place that show a correlation between high usage of exposure to microwaves and the increase in cancer rates? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
There are two studies that I know of. It's not microwaves in the form of a microwave oven, but there are two studies that are currently just recently published. One was in England, and they found that there's an increase in gliomas, which is that brain tumor I mentioned to you, from the period of 1995 to 2015. And that was the period in the 1990s was really when, you know, cell phone usage escalated. The subscriptions for cell phones went from less than 5% of the population to over 100% in the United Kingdom. So some people were having multiple subscriptions for cell phones. And during that period, there's an increase in glioma that was found only in the temporal lobe and in the frontal lobe, which are the two parts of your brain that get the most amount of radiation from cell phones. And a few years earlier, a similar study was done in California, and three different cancer registries showed exactly the same thing, that one type of tumor, and it was actually the glioblastoma multiforme, which is a stage 4 glioma, which means it's metastasized. It's one of the most, it's the fastest growing brain tumor, and with that one as well, there was an increase over that period of cell phone use. So we have that information. There's also evidence that there's an increase in thyroid cancer, mostly among women, and that's happening globally. And when you have a cell phone, sometimes the antenna is at the base of the phone, sometimes it's at the top, sometimes it's at the side. And so your thyroid gland is likely to be affected by that radiation as well. And so the question is, what percentage of the increase in thyroid tumors, particularly in women, are associated with cell phone radiation?
Mm. Richard, thank you for the call. The people that are pushing 5G, are they any different, any better than the CEOs of the tobacco companies, that are responsible for the deaths of millions and millions of people?
Well,
I guess we'll have to leave that as a rhetorical question. We're out of time, but Dr. Havas, thank you so much for this, and we'll look for you Saturday, April the 13th at the Total Health Show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Richard.
Dr. Magda Havas, my thanks to Owen Wolf, Albert Venzel, and Ryan, my live stream producer, back next week with a brand new show. Hope you'll be along for the ride. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There is nothing concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite, I'm coming home. Or at least up the stairs. Good night.
Don't be afraid of the dark. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To talk to Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, get on board, and we will get to your calls after the top of the hour, because Dr. Magda Havas stays with us for the duration, and she will be a speaker at the Total Health Show happening April 12th to the 14th. That's at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. That's North America's premier natural health show, bringing cutting-edge knowledge to Canadians from the leading innovators in the natural health field for 42 years. And we had your colleague, Robert Conley, documentary filmmaker Bob Conley, on the program last week. And, of course, he is presenting his documentary on Tesla medicine, some 10 years in the making. And Tesla, of course, is, well, not officially credited with discovering X-rays, but he was certainly working on it at the same time as the, I believe it was a German who was given official credit. But you wanted to talk about X-rays, Magda.
Well, when X-rays were first discovered, shoe stores started using them to help fit children's shoes, thinking, you know, this is great. A child can't tell if the shoe is too tight. So you can go into a shoe store, look through something called a fluoroscope, which was basically an X-ray, and the child would put his foot under and wiggle his toes with the shoe on, and the mother would look through one eyepiece, and the store clerk would look through the other eyepiece, and they could tell whether the shoe was, you know, going to fit the foot, and whether, you know, the child's foot would grow into the shoe if it was slightly larger. And once we realized that X-rays were dangerous, this was no longer done. Obviously, it's a stupid use of the technology. I call it frivolous. And exactly the same thing is happening now with microwave radiation. So there are Chinese inventors who have designed a diaper that has a microchip in it that when it gets wet, it sends the mother's cell phone a message saying, change Johnny's diaper. Which is absolutely ludicrous. And there are soothers that you can buy for infants. And basically the soother has a thermometer in it. So you put the soother in the infant's mouth, and it will send through radio frequencies to the mother's phone Johnny's temperature. And, you know, we don't allow kids to put their cell phones next to their head. We advise everyone to not put their cell phone next to their head. Yet we're putting a microwave transmitter inside the mouth of an infant. I mean,
oh, dear Lord.
Exactly. So, you know, and these technologies are already available. They're 4G technology. We have baby monitors that parents are using to protect their children. And they're basically emitting microwaves 24/7. And so in the attempt of trying to protect your child, you're actually exposing them to microwaves that's, you know, with the monitor really close to the infant's crib. And so you're doing a lot more damage than good. And we need to educate parents that they shouldn't buy these products. I mean, these are not only frivolous, they're actually dangerous. The Federal Communication Commission and Health Canada should be banning this kind of use of technology, but they're allowing it to happen. And what's really intriguing for me is that baby monitors in Europe are sound activated, which means you can have one of these baby monitors next to a crib. There's absolutely no microwave radiation until the baby makes a sound, and then it transmits, and then it turns off again. Whereas here in North America, they're transmitting 24/7. As long as they're plugged in, they're transmitting. And we tried to bring over some of these monitors to Canada, and we were told that it was forbidden to bring them to North America because the federal communication has banned these kinds of monitors that don't emit all the time. And, you know, when you push and find out, well, what's the reason for preventing them from coming here? And the FCC said, well, it interferes with communication, which is absolute nonsense. How can something that doesn't transmit interfere with, you know, microwave communication? So we're giving, we're getting false information, and we're having exposure in our homes to some of the worst technology that you can imagine, because no one is controlling it properly.
Have there been long-term epidemiological studies on exposure, long-term exposure of some of these EMF frequencies, microwaves?
Oh, most definitely. And the things that they're showing is that They're showing an increase in cancers, as I mentioned already. They're showing reproductive problems. We know that sperm are very, very sensitive to microwave radiation. There's been over 24 studies now that showing men who keep their cell phone in their pocket and use their cell phone for hours at a time, hours each day, have sperm that will not, first they have fewer sperm, they have sperm that do not swim well, they have sperm that are dying very quickly, and they're having deformed sperm as well. And you probably, you know, realize this, but we're having problems with fertility in North America. Couples are having a hard time having babies, and part of the reason is the cell phone kept in a man's pocket. Similarly with the laptop computer that, you know, you hold in your lap, you're on Wi-Fi, and basically you're irradiating your genitals, and that's the same for females as well. The major difference, males and females is that males reproduce their sperm every 3 months, so you can have fresh sperm, which means that if you want to get pregnant, if you want to get your partner pregnant, don't use a cell phone for at least 3 months so that you've got nice, fresh, clean sperm. But women are born with all their eggs. So once you damage the eggs of a young girl, for example, sitting in a Wi-Fi classroom, you've basically interfered with her ability to reproduce.
Right, right. And while the sperm may replenish and the motility will improve once it's separated from Wi-Fi after about 3 months, but if you damage the DNA, that's forever, right?
That's right, yeah. And then you end up, that's pretty serious. Then you have deformities in the offspring, coming the next generation. So we've got not only electrohypersensitivity, that's basically a neurological disorders are classified as electrohypersensitivity. We've got a whole slew of different types of cancers. The cancers are growing much more rapidly, and younger people are coming down with cancers that were originally restricted to the elderly. And then you've got reproductive problems as well. So those are the sort of three classifications of problems that have been repeatedly documented in the literature with current exposures. So you add 5G to that, and we've got a really toxic soup, because the 4G is not going to go away. We're not replacing 4G. We're simply augmenting it with 5G.
So we're stacking levels and layers of radiation upon layers of radiation.
Correct.
And that's what we're talking about here. It's radiation, folks. Now, the industry people, they would counter and say, well, it's non-ionizing radiation. I think that's the argument they use. That's the one they like to use, right? It's non-ionizing, and therefore it's not dangerous. We've got about a minute here. How do you counter that argument?
Well, that's a really easy one to counter. When it comes to non-ionizing radiation, which is what we're talking about with microwaves, they interfere with repair mechanisms, so they don't have to ionize anything. Your body produces something called free radicals during normal functioning, and our bodies neutralize free radicals. If you don't neutralize those free radicals, they can cause all sorts of problems, including the ones we've mentioned and including cancer. So if you simply interfere with the repair mechanism, which is what microwaves are doing, then you've got an increase in free radicals and you've got cancer promotion. So the mechanism is totally different than with ionizing radiation, but both cause cancer.
All right, Dr. Havas, get yourself some water, and let's settle in for hour two as we continue to delve into the health risks, adverse health risks of 5G, the wireless technology coming at us like a freight train set to roll out worldwide by 2020 or 2021 at the latest, and your phone calls as well. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, thanks for inviting me into your home, long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' basement, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Hello to everyone listening in on our flagship station, Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in Toronto. And those of you catching us on one of our affiliate stations, across North America, from Alaska to New Mexico and all parts in between. Hi to those of you listening in via the Zoomer radio app and the Conspiracy Show app. Those of you watching us on our YouTube live stream, and we are streaming live tonight on our YouTube channel, Strange Planet. Take a moment and subscribe. We have passed the 16,000 sub mark, and we're trying to get to 20,000 as soon as we can. And finally, to all of those faithful who gather each week in the YouTube live chat room, however and wherever you're listening, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. More of my conversation with Dr. Magda Havas and the dangers of 5G in just a moment, along with your calls. And again, the phone lines now open for questions and comments. Let me give you those numbers again. 416-360-0740. 416-360-0740. That's for the Greater Toronto Area. And toll free from just about anywhere, 1-866-740-4740. 1-866-740-4740. Say, have you checked out my podcast yet? If you enjoy this program, The Conspiracy Show, I'm pretty sure you're going to also enjoy my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited. New episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Listen and subscribe at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. So 5G wireless technology, again, set to roll out sometime in 2020 or 2021 across the globe. It's being heralded as revolutionary. It's being said that it is integral to the Internet of all things, where everything, not just computers, are connected via the Internet. Your luggage, your refrigerator, your bottle of pills, everything. It's coming at us. There's no stopping it. The infrastructure requirements are huge. So we're looking at more data, faster uploads and downloads, which will require small cells, 5G transmitters everywhere, hundreds of billions of small cells. Is it worth the health risks? What are the health risks? Magda Havas, PhD, is a retired associate professor of environmental and resource studies at Trent University, teaching research on the biological effects of environmental contaminants. And her book, Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution, is available through Amazon. And again, she will be a speaker at the Total Health Show, April 12th to the 14th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. TotalHealthShow.com. TheTotalHealthShow.com for more information. Let's go through the some of the ill effects again of, well, first of all, before we do that, what are the various types of EMF radiation that we need to be concerned about?
You mean what products in your home kind of thing?
No. I mean, there's microwave, but then there's also, you know, dirty electricity and different,
okay,
different types of radiation.
Well, they fall into four different categories. One is called extremely low-frequency electromagnetic fields, and this comes from things like power lines, wiring in your home, any appliance that you have that's plugged into an electric outlet. This gives off an electric field and a magnetic field, and it's been shown to be associated with childhood cancers, for example. So children are particularly sensitive to this form of high magnetic fields. Then there's something called dirty electricity, which is part of the radio frequency spectrum. And it's basically on your wires. Normally, a clean electricity is a nice, clean, smooth sine wave. And when you have energy-efficient appliances, when you have compact fluorescent light bulbs, LED light bulbs, certain types of electronic equipment, they pulse. And consequently, instead of having a nice, smooth sine wave, you now have something that has high frequencies on top of it. And it turns out these radio frequencies are biologically active, so they make people sick. The third category is a combination of radio frequency and microwave. So microwaves are just part of the radio frequency spectrum. They're at the higher end, anything above 300 gigahertz is considered, megahertz is considered microwave radiation, all the way up to 300 gigahertz. And once we get up above 10 gigahertz, we call that millimeter wave. So that's going to be part of the 5G rollout. There's a fourth type, and that's called ground current. And ground current is a serious problem in rural areas, particularly noticeable on dairy farms because it affects milk production. But it also has effects on farmers and people who have ground current pollution in their community. And this is becoming an increasing problem that hasn't received very much attention at all, and it's due primarily to the electric utility not distributing electricity appropriately. They're deliberately putting it into the ground because they don't want to spend money on wires, so they're using the ground as a wire. And all of these four types are biologically harmful.
Now, when it comes to, you know, contaminants in the water, there are regulations in terms of minimum amounts or maximum amounts of, in terms of exposure of contaminants, parts per million or parts per billion. Are there any such guidelines or regulations regarding the amount of radiation, electromagnetic radiation that we're exposed to?
We do have guidelines for low-frequency magnetic fields. The guideline is 1,000. No, in Canada, it's 560 milligauss. But we found that 3 milligauss is associated with childhood leukemia. So 3 milligauss is childhood leukemia, and our guidelines are 530 milligauss. And so they're not protective at all. We have guidelines for dirty electricity as well. And the electric utility is regulated so that they reduce the amount of dirty power. They have to produce clean power to bring that into your home. And they do a moderately good job. We tend to pollute the electricity once it gets into our home. So some of the problem is with our technology in the home rather than to the because of the utility. When it comes to radio frequency and microwaves, the Health Canada establishes guidelines for that. And the Federal Communication establishes guidelines in the United States. But those guidelines are based entirely on a heating effect. So the concept is if it doesn't heat your body, it doesn't harm you. And we found that the guidelines in the United States, for example, are at 1,000 microwatts per centimeter squared. And we're finding heart palpitations in people who are sensitive at 4 microwatts per centimeter squared. So,
oh, dear Lord.
So the guidelines don't do anything to protect the public at all.
Let's get a call in here. Kate is calling from Frankfurt. Kate, welcome to the Conspiracy Show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Terrific. And Frankfurt, Kentucky?
Nope. It's about 100. Well, I'm miles. I missed all the transition from. Anyway, let's get to the point. I'm wondering about HARP. Is there any connection with HARP and 5G? Because it sounds with the focused energy capabilities, they have that in common. And but that might be opening a whole new can of worms, or it might not be related at all. I don't know.
Great question, Kate. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, HARP is
Go ahead, Magda.
A large antenna array in Alaska. And they're doing experiments by bouncing off microwave radiation off the ionosphere and seeing what it does. It's unclear why they have HARP. They claim it's just to do certain types of testing, and some people claim that it has to do with climate, moderating the climate, and other people claim it's a weapon. So at this stage, I don't really know why it's used. It's there, but I don't know why it's used. The only connection with HARP, I think, is that they're using microwave radiation. So they're using, similar wave band of radiation for HARP as they're using for 4G and 5G.
All right, Kate, thank you for that. Did you have a supplementary, a follow-up question?
I'm wondering if 5G or 4G even would have any effects on sleep.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. 4G already does. It interferes with melatonin. It stimulates brainwave activity, so you're not going to be nearly as relaxed. It interferes with the circadian rhythm. Some of the Earth's natural frequencies, the Schumann resonance, for example, is being blocked to a certain degree. It's interfered with because of all these frequencies. And so people are having a terrible time falling asleep. And you can just look at sleep medication and, you know, all the commercials and ads for helping people get to sleep. It's a very serious problem.
Yeah.
And if you don't sleep, you don't heal. So it has repercussions down the road.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Kate, thank you for the call. Richard is checking in from, I believe it's Minneapolis. Richard, welcome to The Conspiracy Show.
Thank you. Good morning to you both. There's a lot of talk about people's obsession with total dependence on their devices. And I'm wondering if it's getting too far into crackpot territory to wonder if this is an intentional side effect of a change in brain chemistry.
Having people hooked on these devices is definitely planned. The industry is, you know, ensuring that no one wants to leave home without their cell phone, for example, because, you know, it becomes the way that they interact with everyone. It's their camera. You know, it just basically provides a lot of different functions for them that people want to have now. And so it's become an addiction. And there have been a number of studies where when people are asked not to use their cell phone, they go into a complete panic attack, just like they would if, you know, if you were trying to get an alcoholic off alcohol or someone who's hooked on drugs. So there's a real problem with the way that we're interacting with this technology, particularly for young people. And not only, you know, is it addictive, but it's preventing them from getting a lot of exercise. So, you know, there's so many issues now with this technology that's being dealt with by, you know, psychiatrists and other types of doctors trying to protect children. And it's going to take a long time before we can really remedy that particular situation.
Okay.
Richard,
so
did you have a follow-up?
That the technocrats are not pursuing the hook 'em and cook 'em agenda?
I'm sorry?
So we're pretty certain that the technocrats are not pursuing the hook 'em and cook 'em agenda?
You know, it's hard for me to get into the head of someone. Like, I know this is, you know, a conspiracy show. But in order to determine whether something is deliberate, whether you really want to harm people with technology, you have to get into the brain of someone who's doing that. And so, because I don't have access to that, I can't tell. But if you wanted to harm people, this is the perfect way of doing it.
Okay.
There's, you know, there's let it happen, make it happen, and just be glad it's happening. So I think all those in there somewhere is your answer. Richard, thanks for checking in from Minneapolis. Sheldon is calling from Medicine Hat, and we're great to have Sheldon on. Medicine Hat, Alberta. Welcome, Sheldon.
Hello, Richard. I'm a first-time caller. I love your show, and I think that this topic is much needed. I would like to ask Dr. Havas, and forgive me, I haven't listened to the first part of your program in case she brought this up already, but there is an article that was written in 2014 by Dr. Craig Maxwell, and the title is The Possible Smart Meter Autism Connection. I am diagnosed with high-functioning autism, and three of my children are. He writes that electromagnetic fields are linked to autism and sensory processing disorders. I wonder if Dr. Havas has studied this issue.
Great question. Thank you, Sheldon.
Thank you, Sheldon. There is some evidence that there's a link with not only autism, but attention deficit hyperactivity disorder as well. And it turns out that if you're pregnant and you're exposed to a high electromagnetic environment, then the probability of your children having some behavioral problems in their youth it increases quite substantially. And some of that work was done by Dr. Dietrich Linkhart in Washington State. And there's more and more research being done in this area. And as you are probably very much aware, you know, the autism is increasing exponentially in our population. So is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so if you sort of project this into the future, it's absolutely devastating. Who's going to take care of all of these children, you know, that are not high functioning, who have real serious problems? And navigating through a normal day.
Sheldon, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Oh, did you have a further question, Sheldon?
Well, I was just wondering about any defensive measures, like aside from going out on the grid, going off the grid and moving up to northern BC, if there's any defensive measures that we can take.
Oh, there's a huge number that you can take. The critical thing is that you get your home as electromagnetically clean as possible. I call this electromagnetic hygiene. There's different products that you can buy. So in your bedroom is the most important room to get clean, so that would be where to start. It's important that you not have wireless technology in your home. I don't have any wireless technology in my home. Everything is wired, so this connection is all wired. My headset is wired. It's not wireless. Make sure that you know, instead of using Wi-Fi, you use Ethernet cable, for example. Make sure that if you have a cordless phone, you replace it with a corded phone, and multiple phones in different rooms. Any kind of games that your children might have that are wireless, make sure that they're wired. If the radiation is coming from outside of your home, from a nearby cell tower, for example, and you're not prepared to move or you can't move for whatever reason, then what you can do is shield against that radiation. There's paints available. There's film you can put on your windows that will block some of the radiation. There's canopies that you can put around your bed. There's clothing that you can wear that has silver in it that will block some of the radiation as well. So there's a heck of a lot you can do to make your home clean. And if it's electromagnetically clean, then the chances of developing electrohypersensitivity diminish quite considerably. And there's a company in Canada that sells this technology, and it's called, can I say the name of the company?
Yes, yes, please. Yes.
It's called safelivingtechnology.com, and their website is www.slt, safelivingtechnology.co, not .com, www.slt.co. And they have meters that you can buy. I encourage everyone to buy a very small, inexpensive meter. It's called Acousticom 2, and it costs about $200, $250, and it will tell you if you have microwaves in your home. It will pick up a smart meter. It will pick up your microwave oven if you turn it on. By the way, we've tested a lot of microwave ovens. Most of them leak, and they leak. The power intensity is really quite high. And what I recommend is that when you use your microwave oven, you actually move totally out of the room and move as far away from it as possible, because you can pick up that radiation at 50 meters quite easily from a leaky microwave. So by using that meter, it will alert you to what's available, what's in your home, and then what you can do is actually shield yourself from that radiation. The only other thing I would recommend is that there's also something called, because of the dirty electricity, you can put filters that are capacitors. You can plug them into your electric outlets, and this will get rid of the dirty electricity. And I think it's getpurepower.com, I think. I have to check that. But GetPurePower sells these filters in Canada as well. And all you do is plug them into your electric outlets. It shorts out the dirty electricity, and it really benefits your health as a result.
416-360-0740 in the Greater Toronto Area to get on board with Dr. Magda Havas as we continue to delve into the health, the adverse health effects of not only 5G, but 4G and 3G and other forms of microwave energy. 416-360-0740 and toll free from out of town, 1-866-740-4740, 1-866-740-4740. We'll get to more calls after the break, but I wanted you mentioned autism, and it's obviously we're talking about an epidemic here. And I mean the legacy costs are just going forward. It's going to bankrupt governments around the country, perhaps even around the world at some point if we don't get a handle on this. But autism is not necessarily one disorder. I mean, is it not a collection of various disorders which could all have various causes.
Totally. It's more than just electromagnetic pollution that contributes to autism. I know this is a controversial topic, but I think some of the vaccines that we've been injecting infants with and children with is contributing to autism as well because of the mercury that was used as a preservative.
All right. Well, I want to pick up on that. It is controversial. Maybe they'll yank us off the air for talking about it, but we must, and we will, on the other side. Dr. Magda Havas, right here on The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
Toronto, Canada. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarin from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are indeed among friends. Dr. Magda Havas is standing by with a dire warning about 5G, fifth generation wireless technology, set to roll out to every city, village, hamlet, farm across the globe in 2020 or 2021. And she'll be with us for the full 2 hours. In the second hour, we'll open the phone lines for questions and comments. That's in the second hour. So just sit tight, keep your powder dry, and listen to the conversation for the first hour, and then we welcome your participation in the second hour. A couple of quick announcements before we get rolling. I'm happy to say that my YouTube channel, Strange Planet, has been monetized once again, and we're not sure how long this will last. My live stream producer, Ryan, reapplied after it was demonetized back in January. However, certain episodes are being demonetized. The most recent one, if I remember correctly, Ryan, was a part one of a multi-part series on JFK, which was my Conspiracy Unlimited podcast. We post the podcast on the YouTube channel as well as this radio program. So they demonetized part one of the JFK series. That was with the James D. Eugenio. So it seems quite arbitrary. I guess anything deemed somewhat controversial is likely to be flagged and demonetized. So we shall see what happens with tonight's program on the dangers of 5G. What are the odds this one will be demonetized? I had a great time hosting Coast to Coast AM this past Friday and Saturday night. And I hope you had a chance to tune in. I don't have dates yet for April, but as soon as I know, I'll let you know. And the best way for me to communicate those dates and times with you is through the website. So keep checking the appearances and live events page up at strangeplanet.ca. That's the website, strangeplanet.ca. And so I will continue to urge listeners of The Conspiracy Show and my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, to support our work by visiting patreon.com/strangeplanet. Consider becoming a donor. There are several tiers available. You can be eligible for exclusive monthly video hangouts with me, exclusive monthly online chats with me, monthly draws for Strange Planet merchandise, etc. Patreon.com/strangeplanet. And then very quickly, one last item. Next week on the program, Jen Hobbs, the author of American Hemp, How Growing Our Newest Cash Crop Can Improve Our Health, Clean Our Environment, and Slow Climate Change. That's next week on The Conspiracy Show. Jen Hobbs on American Hemp. 5G technology is being promoted as the vehicle that will deliver faster wireless speeds for mobile users and spur new innovation for internet-connected devices. And despite the promise of abundant consumer benefits with every new technological advance, there are always questions about the validity and or the rationale for futuristic new devices. In the case of 5G, multiple sources and multiple studies are claiming that the technology carries negative health effects caused by cell tower radiation. The critique is that cell towers will broadcast higher frequency signals to sustain the larger amounts of data required by more intensive data transmissions. Higher frequency transmissions mean signals dissipate quicker than 3G or 4G, and therefore more cell towers will be required. Critics claim the closer a person is located to antennas such as cell phone towers, small cells, and mobile devices, the worse off they are. Research conducted at the Paris Descartes University in 2014 found that sensitivity to EMF can be objectively diagnosed by commercially available simple tests, and that EMFs cause inflammation, oxidative stress, autoimmune conditions, as well as disrupting the circadian rhythm of organic living beings. Dr. Magda Havas, a biologist at Ontario's Trent University, estimates 3% of the population has severe reactions to EMFs, and another 35% are compromised by a variety of negative externalities, including poor sleep, depression, reduced concentration, and higher anxiety. More extreme symptoms can include heart trouble, dizziness, nausea, and difficulties with movement, according to Dr. Havas. Superficial effects such as depression, anxiety, and sleep, however, may only be the tip of the iceberg. And again, Dr. Havas here with us again for the full 2 hours to discuss the possible dangers of 5G wireless technology. Dr. Havas is a retired associate professor of environmental and resource studies at Trent University, where she teaches and does research on the biological effects of environmental contaminants. Public Health SOS, The Shadow Side of the Wireless Revolution. Her book is available through Amazon. And we should also point out that Dr. Havas will be a speaker at the Total Health Show happening April 12th to the 14th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center, North America's premier natural health show, bringing cutting-edge knowledge to Canadians from the leading innovators in the natural health field for over 42 years. And again, that's the Total Health Show, 12th to the 14th of April at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Now, let's welcome Dr. Havas back to The Conspiracy Show. How are you, Magda?
I'm well, thank you, Richard.
So 5G, first of all, just walk us through the evolution, starting, I guess, with 1G in the 1980s. Just give us a sense of how it's kind of ramped up.
Well, we've gone from 1G to 2G, 3G, 4G, and now 5G, and I think President Trump is even asking for 6G, whatever that might be. And initially, the 1G, the first generation, was simply the large brick cell phone that people, a few people, were able to afford. Often these were, you know, business people who needed it for work. And they were fairly powerful transmitters, and there weren't very many antennas around at the time. And the only thing it could do was voice. Now we have cordless phone or cell phones that do voice, do data, do video. They can, you know, help you locate yourself with GPS. So they have multiple antennas. And most of them are working at 3G and 4G. A few places in the world still have 2G. And now we're going to be ramping that up to 5G, which is a much faster data download technology.
So the idea is faster uploads, faster downloads, more data.
Correct.
Now, Tom Wheeler, I'm not sure if he's still the FCC chair, but back in 2016 when he...
Yeah.
He's not. Okay.
No, he's no longer the FCC chair.
But he back in 2016, he was kind of announcing the rollout of 5G, and I think at that time they were projecting 2020 or 2021. And Wheeler said at the press club in Washington, if anyone claims they know what 5G is, or what it's going to become, rather, if anyone claims they know what 5G is going to become, run the other way. What do you think he meant by that exactly?
Well, I think 5G is going to evolve, and because of that, we don't really know how it's going to end up being used. We don't even know the exact frequencies that they're going to use for 5G. And so right now we're all doing, the best guess based on the technology that we currently have available, what little information is provided to us by the telecom industry, and we're trying to make predictions based on really very limited data. So I agree with him. We have no idea what the future has in store for us, because there's going to be a lot of really ingenious people who are going to take this technology and run with it and design all sorts of things that, you know, we just don't know what they're going to be yet.
I recently watched the doc 5G Apocalypse, the extinction event, which was, I guess, directed by Sasha Stone. And in the doc, there is a scientist / weapons expert from Northern England, Mark Steele. And he is issuing a dire warning also about 5G. Are you familiar with the research and the work of Mark Steele?
No, I'm not.
Well, he's up in Gateshead in Northern England, and he says that they are, I guess Gateshead is kind of an early adapter. They're already getting ready for 5G. They are hooking up transmitters, and they are placing them in the LED streetlights. And he says that he's getting reports, widespread reports in the town of Gateshead, of nosebleeds, children having nosebleeds, where, you know, prior to the installation of these 5G transmitters, they had none. So what is the connection between 5G wireless and nosebleeds? Is this common?
Well, we're already experiencing nosebleeds, particularly with children. With the 4G technology and 3G technology, this is one of the symptoms of electrohypersensitivity, for example. So in addition to the symptoms that you mentioned in your introduction, with poor sleep, chronic fatigue, chronic pain, dizziness, heart problems, skin problems, one of the symptoms is our nosebleeds among children. Bedwetting at night is another symptom that seems to disappear if you get rid of the radiation in the bedroom. And so there are a lot of symptoms that have been associated with 3G and 4G technology. And my guess, and it's just a guess at this stage, is that some of those symptoms are just going to become a lot worse.
Now, I'm not a scientist, obviously, and I don't understand a great deal about, you know, electricity and electronics. But according to Steele, again, and this is in the documentary 5G Apocalypse, the extinction event, he talks about the European Council and how they have set this regulation. They passed a law and said that the maximum allowable, I guess, dose or frequency is 200 millivolts, 200 millivolts. And again, up in Gateshead, in these bedrooms where children are sleeping, he's getting readings from 600 millivolts, all the way up to 4,000 millivolts, so three times or 20 times the allowable exposure, if you will. So if 5G rolls out across the world, and this is not just in urban centers, this is going to be in rural areas everywhere. That's the idea. Are we going to be exposed to 600 to 4,000 millivolts all the time? And what are the dangers of that?
Well, you've actually hit the nail on the head. It is going to be constant exposure, just like it is with 4G right now. And it's this constant exposure that the body can't tolerate. So if we were only exposed for an hour a day, for example, or, you know, a few minutes a day, it probably wouldn't do any harm. But because we're constantly exposed, the radiation is coming in packets. It's not a smooth information. It's actually being pulsed. And living organisms can't handle this pulsed information. We haven't been exposed to it evolutionarily. We don't have microwave radiation coming from natural sources. There's a little bit coming from outer space, but it's very, very weak. And we need large telescopes in order to pick it up. So with these antennas being present on homes every, 3 to 5 homes, depending on the density of the housing, it means that basically we're going to be bathed in microwave radiation. And this 5G, a lot of it will be millimeter radiation, which is at a much higher frequency. And the human body just can't tolerate that on a constant basis.
Talk to me about the effect on the brain. What happens to the brain? Well, since the atmosphere has really become permeated with electric waves, electromagnetic waves, what are the biological effects on the brain?
Well, there are a number of them. One is that it affects brainwave activity. And we know from people who do sleep research that there are different brainwave frequencies that have been given different names. And so when you're sleeping, your brain waves are actually quite slow, and they're in delta and theta, just a few cycles per second. And as you become more aroused, you begin to enter an alpha state, which is a meditative state. And then when you're hyper aroused, you go into beta and gamma radiation, gamma waves. It's not gamma radiation. They're two different things. And so one of the things we've noticed is that if you expose the head to microwave frequencies from 3G and 4G, it will alter brainwave activity, and it will alter it after you stopped using your cell phone. And this is one of the things that can interfere with sleep. There's too much arousal going on in the brain, and so people have a hard time falling asleep as a result of that. There's other things contributing to poor sleep. It interferes with melatonin production. And melatonin is the neurotransmitter that helps us get to sleep. It also controls our circadian rhythm. So a lot of people who are using the current technology, the Wi-Fi, for example, that they have in their homes at 2.45 gigahertz, which is not 5G yet, even those frequencies are causing problems. The other thing we're noticing is that people who use cell phones and hold it directly up to their head, they develop a variety of tumors. The most common one is gliomas, which is a brain tumor. There's also meningiomas, which is a tumor of the lining of the brain. They have something called acoustic neuroma, which affects the nerve that's responsible for ability to hear. There's salivary gland tumors, and your salivary gland is just, below your cheek, for example. And a lot of these tumors, some of them are non-carcinogenic, others are carcinogenic. And they tend to happen on the same side of the head that you hold your cell phone to. So the greater the risk of developing these types of tumors.
That's interesting because the late Senator John McCain, before he died, after his surgery, you could see where the scar was, the surgical scar on his face. And again, that is, it wasn't the top of the head. It wasn't, to the back of the scalp. It was right on the side, around the ear where you would hold the cell phone. Now, we can't say with 100% certainty that John McCain, his brain cancer came from cell phone use, but we've seen congressmen, senators, politicians are constantly walking around with a cell phone to their ear, talking to their aides and so forth.
And
LeBron
Senator
James.
Kennedy. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Senator Kennedy had the same type of cancer. And LeBron James, you mentioned a cancer of the salivary gland.
Yes.
He had that. And then lo and behold, he gets this major endorsement deal. I believe it's with Samsung, if I'm not mistaken. What are we to make of that? Is that was that to make him hush up, or?
Well, a number of universities where there's professors doing research in this area, if they're doing research and finding adverse effects, very often the telecom industry will come and give a large donation to the university and request that certain types of research not be conducted. And this has gone on for decades. It's nothing new. But unfortunately, it prevents independent research being done, because currently there's incredibly little research being done in North America, despite the fact that over a million people in Canada are likely electrically hypersensitive, and in the United States, it's likely to be close to 10 million people. Everyone's exposed to this radiation, and yet the government is not doing anything to fund research to find out what the long-term health consequences are. And I think that's due primarily to the telecom industry.
I understand that the United States federal government has passed a law or several laws which in some cases can make it a crime to speak out against the ill effects of cell towers and exposure to EMF. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't. That's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, it's reminiscent of how pharmaceuticals have been protected, and you can't sue pharmaceuticals or vaccination manufacturers and so forth. They've set up sort of a secret court system to deal with that. So it seems like a repeat of that. I'd like to get more information on that, if possible, when I can. But I'd like to know more about these laws. I'm hearing about them. They've passed some regulations. And again, you can't speak out against the ill effects of electromagnetic radiation. So 5G.
One of the differences between the pharmaceutical industry and the telecom industry, and I'm not a big fan of big pharma, but at least they test their products before, they release them to the public. And with 5G, we're not doing any kind of testing.
Excellent point. Dr. Havis, I've got to take a quick time out. Sit tight. We'll come back and we'll continue to delve into the possible dangers of 5G with Dr. Magda Havis. My name is Richard Serrett. This is The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
The truth is not out there. It's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Some are calling the rollout of 5G wireless technology, which is really, it's staring us in the face coming 2020, maybe 2021 at the latest, around the world. Some are calling this rollout a massive health experiment. Dr. Magda Havis is with us, and again, she will be a speaker at the Total Health Show, April 12th to the 14th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. It's interesting, the 5G technology, the wavelength that it's using, I'm told, or I understand, is the same wavelength being used by for the Pentagon's active denial system. This is this technology which it's like crowd control. It's used in crowd control, and people have this. They disperse crowds because people feel like their skin is burning. It's like exciting the molecules just under the surface of your skin, in much the way, I guess, that a microwave would boil water. So that's kind of frightening. This is the same technology being used in 5G and in the Pentagon's active denial system. So what is it? A weapon?
It is. It's basically 5G on steroids. It's a very powerful weapon that consists of a vehicle, so you can move it around, a large sort of cone antenna on it that can be aimed at different locations. And basically, it's like playing a video game. You line up the people you want to irradiate, and then you basically push a button, and it causes intense heat very, very quickly, and it will disperse crowds. So you can aim it at one individual, or you can aim it at a group of individuals, and it's used for crowd control. And the military will tell you that it's totally safe. There's no long-term effects, that it only penetrates, about 3 millimeters into the skin. And to a certain degree, that's true. It doesn't penetrate as deeply. However, your eyes aren't protected, and I think if they start aiming these weapons at people, then we're going to end up having problems with the lens of the eye being adversely affected, because we know the eye and the testicles are two very sensitive organs in your body. When they tested this technology, when the U.S. military tested this technology, they had military personnel put on, you know, really heavy winter gear, and it went right through. It just doesn't matter what clothing you're wearing, it causes intense pain.
You mentioned the eyes, and this is interesting because this is purely anecdotal, but you may have some hard data on this. I've noticed, and I have family members, quite young, having cataract surgery. You know, cataract surgery used to be for people in their 70s and their 80s, and now I know people in their 50s, even in their late 40s, suddenly having cataract surgery. Is there any data or is there a correlation between early onset of cataracts and not just 5G, because it hasn't arrived yet, but just this electronic smog that we're walking around in 24/7?
That's correct. One of the first things that the U.S. military discovered is that if you're exposed to microwaves, if your eyes are exposed to microwaves, you'll develop cataracts. And they did studies with rabbits and rats and all sorts of different organisms in the lab. And this was one of the consistent results. Now, you can imagine that we've got young people now who sit in front of a TV set or a computer screen, and they're getting some of that electromagnetic energy right into their eyes. They might have it on Wi-Fi, which would contribute to microwave radiation. But some of the screens actually flicker, and that's causing damage to the eyes as well. So the light bulbs that we have currently today are really bad for the eyes. A lot of computer screens are really bad for the eyes. And then if you add on top of that microwave radiation, then, you know, you're damaging the eyes all the time.
I mentioned Mark Steele, who's, again, featured prominently in Sasha Stone's documentary 5G Apocalypse, The Extinction Event. It's available on YouTube for those that haven't seen it. And it's a great primer for what is coming at us like a freight train, and that is the rollout of 5G. And again, getting back to Steele, he talks about these 5G transmitters. And I mean, they're going to be densely packed into neighborhoods. If you think, you know, there's an abundance of cell towers, wait till 5G comes. And, you know, they're kind of cleverly disguising them. Sometimes they'll look like an artificial Christmas tree and so forth. But he says, and he's a weapons expert, that these 5G transmitters can 3D map the surrounding environment, which would include your home, my home, and it can penetrate the 5G, the wavelength can penetrate concrete and bricks, so they could 3D map inside our homes.
That's possible. Although one of the things that Tom Wheeler states, and a lot of the people who do research in 5G technology, the technocrats, one of the things they're saying is that the 5G doesn't penetrate readily through buildings. and there was someone who went out, and they're beginning to test 5G now. So there's a rollout of 5G entirely for testing purposes. And one of the things they're saying is that despite the fact that they thought it wouldn't penetrate buildings, it seems to be penetrating buildings. So some of their predictions aren't coming to fruition. And this is not good news for the rest of us, because it means that they're going to turn up the intensity. And because of that, you're going to get penetration right into your home as well. And I think it's going to go a lot deeper than just 3 millimeters into your skin. The levels will be lower, so it'll attenuate very quickly, but certainly it'll get deeper. And a lot of our nerve endings are right at the skin surface. That's how we feel things. You know, we've got a sense of touch. And all of those nerve endings are potentially will be exposed to 5G radiation.
This is all starting to sound like the attacks in Cuba on U.S. and Canadian embassy staff,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. The first attack that was recorded was actually in Moscow at the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Moscow, and that was back in the 60s and 70s. And what they found is that the building across the street from the embassy was irradiating the personnel who were working at the embassy, and a number of them developed the symptoms that we now associate with electrohypersensitivity. They were sick, and they were given more money for sick pay. Initially, they thought it was the water quality in Moscow that was causing the problem, and then they realized it was radiation that was coming from across the street. And a number of the people there developed leukemia, which is another common cancer that we get from exposure to antennas. So not the cell phone, but the antennas that are communicating with the cell phone, as well as, you know, radar, microwaves from radar are contributing to leukemia as well. So people who live near these antennas, whether it's a military base or an airport, or they have a cell phone antenna across the street from them, or a broadcast antenna, TV and radio broadcast antennas, there's an increased risk of these individuals developing leukemia if they live, you know, within about 400 or 500 meters of the antennas.
And microwaves were used in the Second World War, obviously during early radar development by the Germans and the British. But they were also used as weapons that far back, you know, against protesters, I understand, in the 60s and 70s. They were used against the Catholics in Northern Ireland, according to some reports by the British government.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I do know that the first time that we've been exposed to microwaves on this planet from man-made sources was really during World War II, and it was primarily the pilots who were flying the planes, who were being tracked by radar, and the radar operators. That was primarily those two groups of people who were exposed. And then we realized that microwave radiation heats water, and that's how we got the microwave oven, which was originally called the radar range, and women didn't like to have the concept of a radar range in their kitchen. So they changed it to a microwave oven instead of a radar range. And so they started using microwaves for heating, particularly heating plastics. And so there was an occupational exposure shortly after, you know, the 1950s and 60s. And at that time, a lot of the research that was done on microwave radiation was actually classified. You can get whoever was doing research, the research was classified and it wasn't made available to the public. And in 1971 and 72, there was a military expert, the microwave expert for the U.S. Navy, was a Dr. Zori Glazier. And he published a paper in 1972 that listed over 2,000 studies dealing with radio frequency and microwave radiation and the biological effects. So that long ago, we realized that this form of radiation is actually harmful. And around that time, they were coming in with guidelines for the United States. So, you know, what are these military personnel allowed to be exposed to? And that guideline hasn't been changed since about the early 1980s. And so we're really living with guidelines that are intended to protect military personnel, mostly men, physically fit, you know, 6 foot, 180 pounds.
Right, right. Not small children and so forth, or with the elderly, for example. We'll take another time out, Magda, and we'll come back and continue to talk about the adverse health effects of 5G technology coming our way. The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. Don't go away.
Take a look around. What do you really see? This is where you can tell all about it. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Magda Havas is with us, and she stays for the full 2 hours. And we will open the phone lines for questions and comments beginning at the top of this hour. So have those at the ready, and we will roll out the phone numbers as we approach the top of the hour so that you can call in. We are talking about the possible adverse health effects of 5G. I mean, I say possible. I mean, there's been how many studies, peer-reviewed studies, you can read them in PubMed and elsewhere, about the biological effects of various types of electrical radiation. I mean, how many studies are there, Magda, that you're aware of? Thousands? Tens of thousands?
Tens of thousands. Definitely. As I mentioned, we had over 2,000 back in 1972. And we're just adding more and more studies every day.
And again, these are peer reviewed. So it's not even a question. There's no question about this anymore, correct?
Absolutely not. The only people who question it are people who work for the telecom industry and who are paid to basically provide disinformation. And they're actually encouraged to criticize anyone who speaks out about this and anyone who does research. So it's difficult to get research funding for this kind of research. So a lot of the work is being done in Europe and Asia and in different parts of the world and not really here in North America.
When you think about microwaves, if they do what we're told they do, and the science seems to back that up, they really are the perfect weapon, aren't they? I mean, because you can slowly kill someone from a distance, right?
Very easily.
And is it true that the lower doses of radiation or lower levels of microwave energy are more lethal than higher levels? Did I read that correctly?
Not necessarily. There was a professor in California, Dr. Ross Ady, who found that when they did studies and very carefully controlled studies, they found that there was something called frequency windows and intensity windows, which means that when they tested different intensities, sometimes you would get a peak and then it would go down again. So if at a lower intensity there was no effect, and then you increase the intensity, you started to have an effect, and then if you continue to increase the intensity, the effect went down as well. And so you really have to know what the intensity is, what the frequency is, because there's also frequency windows. Different frequencies have different biological effects. And actually, some of the frequencies that are being used currently are therapeutic. So not all frequencies, not all electromagnetic frequencies are bad for you. Some of them are good for you. The problem is even the good frequencies, if you're exposed continuously, your body simply can't tolerate it, and it turns into a bad frequency.
So, again, this is a hypothetical, but I'm assuming, I'd be pretty confident in assuming that the technology exists, that if someone wanted to target another individual and point microwave energy at them 24/7, again, microwave energy that can penetrate concrete or bricks, you could give someone over the course of a couple of years, you could give them cancer deliberately.
Probably.
Is that fair to say?
Yes, totally. Probably even faster than a couple of years. If you use the right frequencies and the right intensities, you can cause a heck of a lot of damage to individuals. So it's a perfect weapon because you don't know you're being exposed unless you have a meter. And actually, I've been contacted by people who have spent time in overseas who are working for the U.S. government, and they feel that they've been attacked by microwaves. And one of the reasons they think it was microwaves is that sometimes their lights would flicker. You know, if you have fluorescent light bulbs, for example, microwaves will actually encourage them to glow a different way. So there are ways of determining if you're exposed even without meters. And so one of the concerns is that this 5G technology, although it's intended for good purposes, it can be weaponized. And I don't know how readily it can be weaponized based on the cellular antennas that they're going to, they're called small cells, based on the small cells that they're going to put out there. If the intensity can be turned up on these small cells, and I think they can to a certain degree, they can be controlled, then they can be used as weapons as well.
And we're told that 5G is so important because now we're moving to the Internet of all things, the Internet of Things, rather than just connecting computers via the Internet. Now everything, your refrigerator, your luggage, a bottle of pills, all of these things will be connected via the Internet. And 5G is absolutely essential for this to happen. So we are talking about, what, hundreds of billions of small cells that will be required?
Oh, yes. And of course, we're going to be the ones who end up paying for it right now. The industry is funding it with some help from different governments, but ultimately it's going to be the people who end up being forced to use the technology who will be paying for all of these antennas. Right now, it's really difficult to buy appliances that aren't smart appliances, which means that they send out a signal, a microwave signal, every few times a minute to connect with a smart meter. And some of the smart meters aren't ready to talk to these smart appliances yet, and that's based on 4G technology. So for that, we really don't need 5G technology. What's really fascinating to me is when X-rays were first discovered.
Magda, sorry for the interruption. This was a short segment. We'll come back
no
to
problem.
X-rays on the other side. Dr. Magda Havas with us here on The Conspiracy Show talking 5G. Get on board at the top of the hour. Back with more. Stay with us on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.